It kept burning brightly during their turns on watch. She lay down as he stood, tugging the collar of his coat around him against the chill night air.
Oh, and we're nearly out of wood.
Doesn't matter much. Dawn can't be too far away. Not worth hunting around for more wood. It'll mostly be wet anyway. Is Seer hear anything?
Seals. Heard great whales moving a couple of times. Far off, but you know how sound carries at night. They were heading south. A pod of them, I think. Most amazingly mournful, moving sound. Thought I heard something moving in among that sargasso sea of weed in the cove, but I think it was probably just the waves, or a fish, or something.
Something? I'll keep a triple careful lookout for that something, lover.
Do that. Kiss before leaving.
Ryan walked slowly up and down for a few minutes, right at the limit of the water. The mass of weed jammed into the bay stopped the big ocean breakers, and the waves barely rippled onto the shingle. The mist had dropped visibility to less than 100 yards. Ryan peered out to where, if their guesses were correct, the mainland was waiting. The raft, almost complete, lay like a tumbled cabin, odd-shaped spars and lengths of timber all bound together with the uncoiled orange rope. Ryan looked at it, silhouetted against the dying fire, where a large bulk of timber finally collapsed in on itself, sending a cascade of tiny sparks soaring skyward into the fog, like brilliant rubies. In the stillness, he turned from the island and looked back across the cove. What had Christie called it? A Sargasso Sea? Ryan had a vague feeling he'd heard the name before, perhaps in some old pre-dark mag. A vast bed of weed that floated somewhere in the center of the Atlantic Ocean, trapping even big, powerful ships in its clammy grasp and sentencing their helpless crews to a miserable death by starvation. There was just enough light from a waning moon filtering through the bank of swirling mist for Ryan to make out the strange, writhing movement of the various chunks of flotsam and jetsam amid the clinging weeds, the sea beneath pushing and pulling below the surface. Ryan stared more carefully into the gloom, trying to decide whether he'd possibly seen the something that Christie thought she might have spotted. But the odd motion that had caught his eye wasn't repeated. He walked away, trying to move quietly to avoid disturbing his sleeping companions. He sat by the fire, his right hand resting on the butt of the Sig Sauer in its holster. Somewhere above him was the redoubt with the Matrans unit, which set him to wondering about the strange rumors of Orientals suddenly appearing here and there in Deathlands. His attention was suddenly distracted. Part of the true horror was that Ryan realized he'd been sitting and looking at it for perhaps half a minute before his brain finally accepted that the thing was real, not just a rippling in the water beneath the matted, tangled lengths of seaweed, not some freakish combination of the broken driftwood that was caught up in the carpet of weed. A pair of eyes. Eyes on stalks. Stalks that were over 2 feet in length, as thick as a human femur. The eyes seemed to hang suspended in space, swiveling from side to side, out to the ocean behind it, back again to the short expanse of beach, the single wakeful human, the 8 sleeping figures. Ryan found it hard to tear himself away from the hypnotic glare of the twin eyeballs. As he started to stand, the thing made its own move, beginning to emerge from the slime that had kept it concealed.
Fucking fire blast.
Ryan was sickeningly aware that he and 6 of the others had been working out there, amid the green layer of weed, waist-deep, soaked and cold, possibly moving within a few feet of the hideous monstrosity.
A crab?
By far the largest crab that Ryan had ever seen. It slowly emerged from the weed, green fronds draped all across it like the rotting robes of a long-dead monarch. It was at least 15 feet across and stood taller than a full-grown man. The main claws were 6 feet in length and looked as though they had the power to slice through the center of a human body like a power press crushing a peach. The eyes stopped moving on the long stalks. They centered on Ryan, seeming to lean toward him, trying to entrap his mind. His combat reflexes finally came to his aid, and he snapped himself clear of the murderous spell. He was sitting by the smoldering fire, the Sig Sauer now in his hand. He shuffled very slowly backward through the tiny damp pebbles toward the others, keeping his eye fixed on the creature. But it didn't seem concerned by the small movement of the puny little animal in front of it. JB and Christy were the nearest to Ryan. He lay his hands firmly over Christy's mouth.
We got company.
What?
Muty crab. Triple huge. Lie real still. Get ready to move fast.
When Ryan silently awakened JB, the armorer did nothing except cautiously place his glasses on the bridge of his narrow nose, reaching for the Uzi. Ryan woke Mildred and Traitor. Mildred nodded her understanding, keeping still, her right hand moving toward the butt of her six-shot revolver. Traitor was more difficult.
Quiet, Traitor, quiet! It's me, Ryan. Just stay quiet. Get ready to move. Big fucking muty crab in the bay. Don't move yet. That might bring it in at the charge. Yeah.
Abe was a little more difficult to wake up. But when he heard the message, he nodded once, already holding the big cold python. Surprisingly, Doc came easily out of sleep, the deep-set intelligent eyes taking in what Ryan whispered in his ear. His leonine head nodded to show that he understood. But the old man was unable to resist the temptation to raise himself a little and peer at the Leviathan, now much closer to the edge of the beach.
By the three Kennedys.
Jack was the next around the circle, his tumbling white hair making him stand out in the semi-darkness. As Ryan reached him, the dark eyes of the skinny albino were already open.
Seen it.
Dean was the last. Ryan eased himself toward his son, glancing back to see if the crab was showing any signs of surging into an attack. But it was still moving slowly, the great claws held clear of the water, opening and closing with a menacing velvet softness. Just as he was about to wake the boy, Ryan spotted a change in the crab's movements. It had stopped about 20 paces from the shingle, its claws lifted higher, its long legs dancing up and down in the scummy water. It seemed to be gathering itself, bracing.
Now!
Simultaneously, the gigantic muty crustacean made its move. Claws waving, eyes revolving on their stalks, it began to rush its prey. Everyone opened fire at once. Automatic. In the ragged mist, it was impossible to see precisely what sort of damage the hail of bullets was doing. The crab didn't stagger away, but it did stop its advance, crouching belly in the ocean, its claws waving faster as though it were trying to deflect the flying full metal jackets from itself.
Pick your targets! Mildred, can you take out its eyes?
I'm already trying, for Christ's sake, but the bastard's moving too much!
Mildred was standing up, her feet planted firmly apart in the pebbles, shooting as though she were at the Olympic finals, picking her shots. Ryan was also trying for the eyes, until he decided that it was too difficult and he was wasting bullets. He shifted his aim to what he imagined was the creature's face. Doc was struggling to shift the movable hammer on his commemoration Lamar so that he could begin to shoot the 9 rounds of .36 caliber ammo.
It's coming at us!
The crab started moving again, edging sideways toward them. One of its legs, with spikes of thick hair at the joints, was dangling uselessly behind it. A dark phosphorescent ichor was leaking over its shell in a number of places. Mildred had succeeded in picking off one of the questing eyes.
Ha! Gotcha!
It seemed to affect its sense of direction. Now it crept parallel to the beach.
Hold your fire!
Ryan stood, watching the muty nightmare as it lurched, staggered, and nearly fell over. One of the giant front claws had almost been severed. In a few seconds, the fearful specter had become something tragic. Dean was up on his feet at his father's side.
Looks like it's done for!
I could probably take out the other eye now.
No, Mildred. Let's wait and see whether it still wants to fight.
That chicka-chick's had enough!
The crab was standing still at the edge of the cove, its one eye glowering balefully at its intended prey, its single huge claw clicking open and shut.
Had enough!
Looks like it.
Ryan reached around to start reloading the Sig Sauer, noticing that JB was doing the same with the Uzi.
Yeah!
The monster finally turned clumsily, starting to make its way back through the sea of weed and driftwood toward the safety of deeper waters. Above the constant smell of sulfur seeping across from the mainland, Ryan could taste a fresh, incredibly bitter scent in the night air, like a mixture of cold iron and hot blood. The crab finally vanished from sight under the dark ocean, and the smell also stopped.
Think it'll die, Dad?
Oh, my soul.
I think I could
have. That was a creation worthy of the talent of Hieronymus Bosch.
Shit-eating bastard. Wish you'd gotten closer so we could have killed it.
Myself, traitor.
Always did like crab meat.
Anything like that.
Maybe